Bruce Williamson is from the campaign group Rail Future. Hello there, Bruce.
Good evening.
Is there any part of you that thinks, actually, this is worth it?
Well, no, I have a lot of sympathy with those passengers who are feeling the pinch. We do have the most expensive rail fares in Europe. It's a fact. And it's really quite shocking, you know, that the government continue to put up rail fares ahead of people's, incomes, ahead of real-world inflation. And, you know, it looks like the government is actually succeeding in its aim in terms of pricing people off the railways. The railways have been a huge success story in the last 20 years. There are twice as many people travelling by rail now, but that growth is starting to level off. So it seems like, you know, the passengers have been squeezed as much as they can take now.
That said, though, it is only 0.1%, but the fares have actually gone up slightly less than the rate of increase for wages this year.
But that is exceptional. Generally speaking, rail fares have outstripped, real-world inflation. I'll bore you to death about inflation. There's two ways of measuring inflation, RPI and CPI. The government claims it prefers CPI for almost everything because it's generally the lower figure. And yet when it comes to rail fare increases, they always go for the higher
RPI
figure. So that's
yeah.
why, you know, in real terms, rail fares are actually going up and up and up and becoming more expensive.
I mean, look, you mentioned that it's become so much more popular over the past 20 years. Now, the rail operators, the train operators point out that in order to bring the infrastructure up to scratch to cope with that number of people, they need to put prices up to invest it in the infrastructure. There's something in that, isn't there?
There is something in that. But as one of your interviewees commented, we've heard this year after year after year. And particularly when we've had such a torrid year with the timetable disruption and so on, I think it's about time that the poor old rail passenger got a break, particularly when you compare it to the joy that the motorist has had. You'll know that fuel duty for motorists has been frozen for, I think it's 8 years now. In terms of pence, the price of a litre is about the same as it was 8 years ago. So why has the government got this double standard? It's hypocritical to soften the blow for motorists, but it's okay to punish the poor old rail traveller.
More people drive, I suppose,
Bruce.
Motorists
have complained about the war on the motorist. It's not. It's the war against the rail passenger.
More people drive?
Yeah, and it's not surprising, really, is it? They're being priced off the railway. Many of those drivers would love to take the train if it was more attractive, if it was priced more reasonably. But the government is succeeding in deterring people from taking the train. Now, of course, the consequence of that is you have ever more congestion and ever more pollution on the roads.
Where are you on what we hear an awful lot, that, you know, it's got to be this way? The passenger has to foot some of that bill because you can't put the infrastructure onto the general taxpayer, most of whom never travel on the railways.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think there's a very strong case for the taxpayer picking up quite a lot of the tab because, you know, the taxpayer does benefit even if they don't actually use the railway. Obviously, I mentioned congestion. If you have an attractive rail network, that reduces congestion for other motorists who don't choose to take the train. And the railway network as a whole is a great driver of economic growth. So investing in the railway reaps dividends down the line, no pun intended, but it's quite hard to see that because people only see it in this very direct way of paying for what you get for immediately.
Do you think a price freeze would actually have worked? Is there not sort of a negative vicious circle in that, that if you take away an increase, you actually get less infrastructure investment and the service gradually becomes worse and worse?
Well, there is that risk. And, you know, in every sense, it's in the hands of the government, really. You know, they hold the purse strings and they dictate to the rail companies, you know, how much they can put their fares up. And I think, you know, the rail companies themselves get a lot of stick. It's the government that we need to turn our fire on because it's 100% in their hands. Yeah, clearly, if you run down a rail network deliberately, which is what happened in the 60s, which sort of helped to justify the beaching cuts, then, you know, people will stop using it. But the reverse is true. You invest in the railway, provide a decent service. What's the old cliche? Build it and they will come. And there's numerous examples of this across the country where you deliver a decent rail service and passenger numbers go up and up and up.
Thank you, Bruce. Good to speak to you. That's Bruce Williamson, who's from Rail Future, on those price rises.